on Maryland Morning 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. Welcome back to The Lines Between Us, WYPR's year-long series on inequality in the Baltimore region. This week, we've been talking about diversity and the history of integration in some Baltimore communities. In many neighborhoods, churches, synagogues, and other houses of worship have played a role in increasing diversity. But along with the history of promoting racial equality, some religious institutions also have a history of exclusion. In a few moments, we'll hear about the efforts to increase diversity from the perspective of two church leaders. Earlier this morning, we heard from Inez Haney Dodson. She talked about moving into Edmondson Village in West Baltimore in 1965, which at the time had a predominantly white population. Inez also broke the color line at St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church on Edmondson Avenue.
I began here in March of 1965, and I looked in the yellow pages of the phone book, and I saw 4711 at Edmondson Avenue. So I said, oh, that's where we'll go. I did not know when I came here that I was going to be in integrating the church. I didn't know, you know, I'd been away for 2 years, and I had heard of such changes in civil rights while I was in Germany. So I really didn't know. I just knew that it was close and we needed an Episcopal church that was close by. I imagine I must have come on the 15th of March because the march to Selma was on March 8th of 1965. And the rector who was here at the time, Jack Malpas, preached on the march to Selma. He had been one of those who stood on the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, standing up for and walking for civil rights. I felt a little uncomfortable then. You know, I sat here with my children, and I imagine when I took communion, I realized that there were no other people of color here. So I decided in my own mind that as soon as the service was over, I would be making a hasty exit, and I probably would not be back. After the service, I was surrounded. I mean, people came over to greet me, one of whom still goes here, and she sits with me now. She's 93. They knew I was coming back. I didn't plan on coming back. They just made me feel so comfortable. I knew that everyone wouldn't welcome me, and I didn't expect everyone to. I just expected to be treated with respect.
Next month, St. Bartholomew's Church on Edmondson Avenue and the Church of the Holy Trinity in the nearby West Baltimore neighborhood of Bridgeview Greenlawn are participating in a race and reconciliation workshop under the auspices of the Episcopal Diocese of Maryland. Joining me on the phone is the rector of St. Bartholomew's, Reverend Florence Ledyard, and here in the studio, the rector of Holy Trinity, Reverend Eddie Blue. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Good morning.
Thank you.
So, Reverend Ledyard, let me start with you. Inez Haley Dodson, whom we just heard from, is still a parishioner at St. Bartholomew's, so she's one of your parishioners. Set the scene for us before Inez joined the church in 1965. What was the church's path to integration at that point?
St. Bartholomew's church was formed as a congregation just prior to the Civil War. The church building was not built until after the Civil War was over, and it was located down on North Avenue. When that community began to change color, the congregation chose to move out to its present location here on Edmondson Avenue. When this community started to change color, this congregation, in a moment of absolute clarity, got a grip on the gospel and made a singularly profound decision to stay exactly where they were and to become a part of a community in transition. So that when Inez Haney Dodson arrived in this congregation, this was an environment and a community of faith that was committed to and prepared to seek and embrace diversity.
And Reverend Eddie Blue, how about the history of the Church of the Holy Trinity? Yours is an African-American congregation. What's its journey been so far?
Well, we were founded in 1953. We're in a building that was built in the late 20s. There was a white congregation that inhabited our building named Holy Trinity. And when our neighborhood began to change in the late 40s, early 50s, they decided not to integrate, essentially, and to close and to deed their building to the Diocese of Maryland for the establishment of a black congregation. So, and curiously enough, some of their membership was transferred to St. Bartholomew's, and we had our first worship service the first Sunday in October 1953. So, you know, I guess you could say race relations had a lot to do with with our being where we are.
Sure. And there's an extraordinary thing, at least it's extraordinary to me. There is a commission on truth and reconciliation that Bishop Eugene Sutton, the bishop of the Diocese of Baltimore of Maryland, has given a directive for churches to do something talks about the history and talks about the dynamics of race relations. So your churches are participating in a racial reconciliation workshop. It's next month. It's called Seeing the Face of God in Each Other. Reverend Ledyard, this is really even the title of this is sort of redolent of South Africa and the commissions on race and reconciliation, you know, in the post-apartheid era. What do you hope to accomplish in this?
I think that this is a wonderful opportunity for members of our respective congregations to come together and to have a chance to be intentional about issues of racism. I think that racism remains an insidious, sinful reality, both in terms of the history of this country, but also in the church. And so for both of our congregations, both of our congregations now have a chance to be able to gather together to share personal stories, to talk about our congregational histories, but also to look at the systemic ways in which racism continues to be present and pervasive. So from my perspective, I hope that this allows an opportunity for our congregations to continue to be intentional about addressing issues of racism, and then to continue to be able to find ways to explore ways to attend to issues of race and the ways that we can counterbalance that and find much more redemptive opportunities for a radical welcome that is gracious and full of hope and full of potential.
And Reverend Blue, your perspective as the leader of a black Episcopal church, what do you hope to achieve?
I think what I would like to see happen is for our two communities to forge a vision of how we're going to live together as people of faith who are different, who are of different races and yet have a common love and affection for God, and how that love and affection for God can work itself out in our relationships Episcopalians, as people who inhabit different parishes, but who still have a common vision for what the world can be like.
And Reverend Blue, is this limited, first of all, to these two Episcopalian congregations, and is the discussion limited to the issue of race rather than, for example, economic disparity or, you know, wealth disparity, that kind of thing?
When Flo and I sat down to talk about this, we had envisioned it as something that would involve only our congregations, and it's been expanded to include people from all over the diocese. It's a training that will be open to anybody who wants to participate.
On 88.1, it's The Lines Between Us on Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall, speaking on the phone with Reverend Florence Ledyard, and here in the studio with the Reverend Eddie Blue about the role of religious institutions in bridging divides in communities. And Reverend Ledyard, is there a particular capacity, a particular opportunity for churches to address this issue in ways that perhaps other institutions can't?
Yeah, I think that is true, actually. It seems to me that the search for a place that that welcomes and embraces diversity is at some level a deeply faithful journey. It's about understanding God's intent for creation and for us. It's the joy of recognizing that the kingdom of God is incredibly diverse. And so I do think that there is a way in which a faith community has the chance to explore the opportunity for diversity in ways that are really exciting and full of joy. I also think that faith communities are a place where we can come together in honest and intentional ways to also attend to the harm and the hurt and the pain of the things that that separate and divide us.
Reverend Blue, Dr. King rather famously said that the 10 and 11 o'clock hour on Sunday morning is the most segregated hour in America. But what about the fact that there is a great utility and a great positive dimension to churches, different church communities, continuing their particular traditions? We have the Greek Orthodox or the Eastern European Church, the various branches of Judaism, for example. You have an African-American church. I'm sure diversity is a good thing, but so is upholding the traditions of African-American culture within the larger context of Christianity and in your case, Episcopalianism. How do you balance the tension between those two? Is there a tension in your mind between those two?
There isn't, in that if one thinks of all cultures as at least being part of creation or having been created by God, then certainly we can affirm cultures other than our own. We have an obligation, I think, to generations that succeed us to maintain our culture, but the way in which we do it is to look at the positive contributions that we've made over the centuries, and to point our the people who will follow us toward a future that emphasizes their strengths rather than their weaknesses, and to help people to see, particularly people who are Christian, to see that every human being and every culture has value and worth because human beings are created by God.
Let me ask both of you the same question. Reverend Dar, we'll start with you. Is it your strategic intention, your hope, to attract to St. Bartholomew's more people of color for your congregation? Right now, your congregation is predominantly white.
Correct. Although we are, in fact, a true multicultural congregation, but we do remain predominantly white. Although we do, in fact, strategically, we have a strategic plan and vision that is trying to intentionally create an environment and a faith community that will embrace more and more diversity.
And Reverend Blue, let me ask you the same question. Is it your strategic intention and hope to attract white people and people who aren't of African heritage?
I'll tell you a little story. When we were looking at our vestry, our leadership council was looking at a way to describe ourselves and the purposes of our congregation, and one of the things that I thought we ought to do is talk about the fact that we were African American, and they resisted that because they want to project our church as a church that's open to all kinds of people, and I think that would be an accurate reflection of who we are. We want to be open to all kinds of people. But at the same time, we want to affirm who we are. I mean, we're, you know, there are right now no white people in our congregation. And unless things change radically in our neighborhood or in the city, they're not likely to be, at least for the foreseeable future. So, you know, we need to affirm who we are, being open to other possibilities, to practice what Flo has already described as a radical welcome.
Reverend Ledyard, we're less than a month away from an election, which will include several referenda, one of which is on the issue of same-sex marriage. The Episcopal Church has been of two minds on this, nationally and internationally. you know, can you speak about diversity and inclusion in the church that isn't related to race in terms of your perspective from St. Bartholomew's?
The church ought to be a place where we radically welcome everyone and where we recognize that every single human being is created in the image of God. And our ability to welcome within our faith communities people of all kinds of diversity is actually joyous and full of delight. It's not always very simple or very easy. It's sometimes really complicated, but I believe with some degree of intentionality and lots of prayer and lots of conversation that is honest, that ability to welcome within the church every human being, no matter who they are, is critical to our understanding of what the church is and is critical to our understanding of the future of the church.
And Reverend Blue, the clergy have been very much front and center in this issue of marriage equality, many for, some many against. How about for Holy Trinity? Is this an important issue for your congregants?
It's not a burning issue, I would say. I think there, I think probably the majority of my congregation is more concerned about the reelection of President Obama than anything else. I've not talked to, or have not heard any real concern expressed about marriage equality. I think there have been some concerns expressed about the Dream Act, but none really about that issue.
So have you chosen to preach about it one way or the other?
I've decided not to.
Mm-hmm. Reverend Ledyard, how about you? Are you preaching about it?
I am, actually, just last Sunday.
Well, I appreciate both of you taking the time to speak with us, and best wishes on this workshop on race and reconciliation. Appreciate it, Reverend Eddie Blue and Reverend Florence Ledyard. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To listen to more of our conversation and for photos and video of some of our guests this morning, visit thelinesbetweenus.org, and you'll click on all sorts of information related to our conversations in this series. On Maryland Morning, I'm Tom Hall, 88.1 WYPR. Thanks so much for being with us. Have a great weekend.